ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 रेणुकं श्रीमद्भागवतं कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 2 Daksha curses Lord Shiva, text number 9. Words, please repeat. Shruyatam,
Shruyatam,
Brahma Rishaya,
Brahma Rishaya,
Me, Sahadeva,
Sahadeva,
Saha Agnaya,
Saha.
All sages, brahmanas and fire gods present, please hear me with attention, for I speak about the manners of gentle persons. I do not speak out of ignorance or envy. So we are at the beginning of a story of Dakshas cursing Lord Shiva. This is story that was by which, upon hearing about, Vidura was quite amazed, because he heard that these great two personalities, that there was some trouble in their relationship. That Daksha became envious of Lord Shiva and cursed him. So when Vidura heard about this incident, he wanted to know more, because that whole situation led to Sati's giving up her body. And Vidura's thinking, it must have happened something very, very serious, so that she was, you know, so disturbed that she just wanted to give up her life. So he wanted to know more about it. So now Maitreya has started to describe this story. And yesterday we heard of quite a number of verses that are just introduction to the whole incident. So the leaders of universal affairs, they gathered to perform sacrifice. And you know how it is, when something important is happening, then many people gather. Like when we have nice festivals, then also hundreds and thousands of people come. And especially, you know, important, educated, advanced persons, they come when there is something spiritually happening. In the modern world, you know, people gather when inauspicious things are happening, or at least, you know, things that are a waste of time. You have some music, rock concerts and so on, and thousands of people gather. And you have some political functions, and again, so many people come. But in Kali Yuga, when there are religious functions, the real, pure religion is being practiced, then the crowd is not that big. But still, these great personalities, leaders of the universe, who are well versed in Vedic scriptures, they would come always when such important things would happen. Even we hear how how sages of Naimisharanya gathered, because the topics, spiritual topics, were about to be described. And also when Parikshit sat on the bank of Ganga and Shukadeva Goswami came, it is described that all the great sages from the whole universe came to hear these important topics. So now, of course, according to one's conditioning, according to one's understanding, knowledge, and realization, one will be attracted to different things. So when people are spiritually advanced, they are interested in spiritual subject matters. So here also, many persons gathered, but Daksha, who was about to do this sacrifice, came when most of them were already there, assembled. So when he came in, he was greeted by everyone present, except two persons. Two didn't stand up and offer obeisances, and they were Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And Daksha, receiving respect from all the rest, then was about to sit down, but before taking his seat, he started to speak because he was disturbed. He was disturbed because he was not shown enough respect. So that was the cause of his disturbance. He thought his image of himself was being neglected. You know, he thought, I'm a big personality, so everyone should support this thinking of mine. But Lord Shiva didn't act the way Daksha expected. So now in this shloka, Daksha is starting to speak against Lord Shiva. It's quite amazing because, as Vidura said, they are both exalted personalities. How can that happen? Now, of course, it is possible that two great personalities may look at things from different perspectives and then might have difference of opinion. It is not unusual in this material world. Prabhupada even said when devotees would have different opinions sometimes, he would say, you know, this is just a sign that we are persons, you know, not two people look at the same thing in the same way. So it is not unnatural. But then how you deal with this situation, then that depends on, you know, your understanding and your culture and all those factors. So, two personalities present, both exalted and both advanced, but still not on the same level. They had different opinions. So it was already described how Lord Shiva is a spiritual master of the whole universe. Now to be spiritual master of the whole universe, one has to be qualified. It is not this just you proclaim yourself to be a guru or proclaim yourself to be incarnation of God or whatever, and you know, it just happens. Now, Lord Shiva is considered such a great guru because he was qualified. And that is something that there are many qualifications of a guru, but Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita states in the first shloka, who can accept disciples all over the world? He's saying, Vacho Vegam, Mansa Kro, Tavegam, Jivan Vegam, Rupasta Vegam, Jivan. So he is saying that whoever can control the urge to speak, the mind's demands, anger, and urges of tongue, belly, and genitals, such a person can make disciples all over the world. So self-control is the first qualification of advanced personality and one who is able to lead others. And from this incident we can see that is one of the differences between Lord Shiva and Daksha. Shiva was self-controlled and Daksha apparently didn't have, you know, his urges under control, his mind under control. He became angry. And here it was also explained that he was, Prabhupada is saying that he was envious. So, Lord Shiva's qualities were apparently much, much higher. He was a more qualified person. It was also described that Lord Shiva was peaceful and he didn't see anyone as enemy. In Gita it is said, Yoga Yukta Vishudatma Vijitatma Jitendriyama Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma Purvana Pina Lipyate. Krishna is saying that one who is engaged in devotional service, who has self-control and has his mind and senses under control, such a person is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. So, because he doesn't have any, you know, ambition to exploit others and so on, he doesn't see others as threat for his sense enjoyment. That's why, you know, he has no problem with anyone. He can see everyone in a spiritual light, so see everyone as spiritual servant of Krishna. And also, at least people who are relatively, you know, normal or not too much influenced by lower modes, they will also appreciate such a person. They won't have problem with such a person. They would even love such a person. The example of that is, for six Goswamis it is mentioned that Dhira Dhira Janat Priyav Priyakaro Nirmatsaro, that they were liked both by those who are gentle and who are ruffians. Because he was not envious of anyone. So everyone liked him. And so, for example, Sanatana Goswami was liked throughout the Vrindavan area. He would go and mix with villagers. Many times they would ask him for advice, even on, you know, daily affairs. And they liked him so much that when Sanatana Goswami left his body, then all the residents of Vraj, all the male, they would shave their heads, you know, like their relative has died. Because they felt such closeness with Sanatana Goswami. Why? Because of his great qualities. Because of his care for them. So, if a person is advanced, then he is dear to others. But as we heard yesterday, sometimes there are envious persons in this world who are disturbed by someone's advancement, by someone's good qualities. They think that such a person is a threat for them, that he will take something away. He will diminish my prestige. So I better get rid of him. Or at least I should bless him, such a person, or create a bad image about him so that people start neglecting that person. You know, some kind of action I have to take out of, you know, envy. Shiva didn't consider anyone. He was peaceful and didn't consider anyone as his enemy. And that is qualification of a saintly person. Even one of the names of Maharaj Yudhishthira is also Ajatashatru, one whose enemy was never born. His enemy was never born. Okay, one can say, what about battlefield of Kurukshetra? There are so many enemies, millions of them were born. But no one was born that he considered enemy, you know? He didn't see anyone as enemy. That is the point. Such a person never took birth, person that he would consider enemy. And that is symptom of a sadhu, explained also in third canto of Bhagavata. Shloka that Prabhupada uses many times in his classes. Titikshava karunika sukhrida sarva bhutana ajata shatravas shantava sadava sadhu bhushana. So, first, this shloka speaks that characteristics of the sadhu are that he is titikshava and karunika, that he is very tolerant and merciful. And Prabhupada gives so many times explanation of these two characteristics of being very important in Krishna consciousness movement. Because if we want to share Krishna consciousness with others, you know, we will have to tolerate so many things. So if you want to be merciful and give Krishna consciousness to others, you have to be really tolerant. So many problems in this material world that one has to undergo in order to try to share Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Up to being persecuted and humiliated, even beaten by people when you try to introduce Krishna consciousness to them. So, still, if one has this desire and wants to fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then one has to tolerate and go on. One is friendly, sadhu is also friendly to every living entity. Being friendly to everyone means that you try to do good for others. And if you want to do good for others, first you have to know who others are. Only when you understand that others are spirit souls, then you can do real good for them. then you can start to help them spiritually, which is the real welfare activity. Sadhu is also peaceful because he has no problem. He has no ambition in this material world. Yesterday it was also mentioned. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Teva Shanta. Devotee of Lord Krishna is without selfish desire, so he is peaceful. And then Ajata Shatra, characteristic of a sadhu is that his enemy was never born. So he doesn't consider anyone his enemy. Then Prabhupada also says that sadhu abides by the scripture. So you know, you cannot say that someone is sadhu if he's not following Shastra. Although nowadays, you know, people make external show of being spiritually advanced and wanted to be leaders of others, but the criteria is, do they follow Shastra or not? So if they don't follow Shastra, then they cannot be accepted as sadhu by those who are learned and sober. Yes, and then the conclusion is that sadhu has all the good qualities. So, Lord Shiva was on that level. He was real sadhu. It was also described in the shlokas yesterday, how he guides and gives mercy to the lowest of the low. You know, the most fallen and degraded living entities, like ghosts and other creatures that hang around crematoriums. He is even willing to elevate them. And this is his great quality. Now I want to read something from Bhagavad Gita regarding this having no enemies. Prabhupada writes in 12th chapter of Gita. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone. Nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8 it is stated, Tatenukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or he falls into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I'm suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I am just getting a little, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is also always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. So we will also see here that how Lord Shiva will react. He will not get into conflict with the Daksha. Then later his followers will be disturbed and they will create chaos. But Lord Shiva himself didn't consider Daksha his enemy. Yeah. Now, on the other hand, Daksha is also one of the Prajapatis, so he is exalted personality. He must be very, very pious. And he, you know, for sure is devotee of the Supreme Lord, but not on the level of Lord Shiva. So that's why, you know, his outlook, his perspective and his attitude were different than Lord Shiva's. And because they were not perfect, it created this unfortunate situation. So Daksha was proud of his post of being a great Prajapati, and he thought that he can chastise Lord Shiva. Now, There are two perspectives about, you know, hierarchy between Shiva and Daksha. What, how Daksha was looking was, you know, I'm his father-in-law, so he's junior to me. So he should show respect to me. So from this bodily relationship outlook, that's true. You know, that is, you cannot say that this is not the code followed in society. But that is bodily platform. That is not, you know, spiritual understanding. Because according to spiritual understanding, and even if you look at the management of the whole universe and position of different persons, then Lord Shiva is far superior to Daksha. So, when Daksha came into the assembly, he expected Lord Shiva to stand up, offer obeisances. But Shiva did not. He remains. So Daksha thought, you know, since I am superior, it is my right and duty to chastise him. Yeah, but unfortunately he was wrong. We can, or someone can chastise someone who is junior or someone who is dependent on him. Like parents can chastise their children, guru will chastise their his disciples, king can chastise the citizens, teacher can chastise students. So some positions are positions of, you know, natural leadership or authority, and person who is in charge of others and should guide them can chastise his subordinates also. Just the problem was, as mentioned, that Daksha didn't properly understand. He was looking from the bodily platform on the situation, not from the higher perspective. And yes, so if that is our duty, then we may chastise someone. Even in the temple, there is a person who is supposed to chastise others. Called the temple president. Temple commander. They are the ones who have to keep order in the temple. So it is their duty. It is, how you say, thankless task. You know, you don't get praise for that. But someone has to do it. So if one does it out of duty, then it's okay. It is service. The problem is, if we are not entitled to chastise others or guide them, and then we try to chastise everyone. I don't know, many times in communities of devotees, there is a person or two who take upon themselves to purify others. Going around and, you know, getting on everyone's case, although that is not their duty. Even in Shastra you find one person like that, and that is Durvasa Muni. He sometimes thinks, you know, I should purify this person or that person. I should test this sadhu and that sadhu. Let me see how they will react. If they react well, I may bless them. If they don't react well, I'll curse them. But with such attitude, as we can see from life of Durvasa Muni, you get in trouble yourself. You get purification. Purification yourself. So one should know if, you know, chastising others is my duty or not, and who are people who are under me so that I can lead, and also in certain circumstances chastise. So as mentioned, Daksha couldn't recognize the exalted position of Shiva, and he thought that Shiva did something wrong, and now it is my duty as superior to chastise him. I believe on Sunday there was a shloka mentioned from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yandrachite Krishna Prema Karayodaya Tanra Bhakya Kriya Mudra Vigyehana Pujaya. That even the most learned person cannot understand the symptoms, characteristics and activities of pure devotee. So that means it's just natural that Daksha couldn't understand Lord Shiva's intention and his position. That's why he misjudged the situation and acted in the wrong way. Otherwise, if Shiva would be junior to him, then Daksha could be disturbed or might chastise him. There is also another similar story when someone didn't get up when an exalted personality came into assembly. And that is when Lord Balaram came and in the assembly of sages of Naimisharanya. So Lord Balaram didn't want to participate in a Kurukshetra war because, you know, he liked both sides and he didn't want to side with anyone. You know, even Krishna didn't like the whole situation. He tried to stop the Kurukshetra war, but it was just not possible. Duryodhana and his side, they didn't want to cooperate. They wanted to fight. They wanted kingdom for themselves. So Krishna then said, I will also not join any of the sides in terms, I will not fight for anyone. But he gave Arjuna and Duryodhana, you know, the choice, you want me or my army. So Arjuna took Krishna and Duryodhana took Krishna's army. But Lord Balaram, you know, didn't want to participate even in such a way. So he said, oh, I have enough of this. I go on pilgrimage. So he was touring all over different holy places. And at the particular time he came to the forest of Naimisharanya. And sages were there to perform sacrifice and they were about also to hear from Roma Harshana Sutta. So when Lord Balaram came there, everyone offered obeisances to him, but Roma Harshana Sutta, who was sitting on the asan about to speak on spiritual subject matters, he didn't stand up. So Balaram also became angry. And he took kusha grass, and with that grass he chopped off the head of Roma Harshana Sutta.
Just touched him,
and he was killed. So we can see, he didn't show respect. Balaram was disturbed because the proper codes were not followed, and Balaram, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, one of his duties is to establish the principles of religion. So if a person who is about to teach others about religion is not following the religion himself, he will just remove him. And we can, and that is also the case in spiritual life. People who proclaim that they are leaders, but they don't follow the spiritual practices, they are just removed by Krishna in one way or another. Krishna just doesn't tolerate that. Yeah. So, yesterday we heard how it is dangerous to be in position, like Daksha had an important post. But then if you make a mistake, then you can end up in trouble. So, those nice explanations given yesterday by Aniruddha Prabhu, two stories came to my mind in that regard. One is from Ramayana, where Lord Ram had an official complaining gate. You know, anyone in the kingdom who might be dissatisfied could come and directly complain to the king. So he had, you know, special gates, so anyone who had some problem could come and express his dissatisfaction with what is going on in the kingdom. Lord Ram would then ask his ministers, his brahmanas, you know, anybody came, any problem in the kingdom. So one day, one brahmana, one of his Ramachandra's advisors, when asked, you know, is anything going wrong, he said, not really. You know, he hesitated a bit. And Lord Rama, you know, detected this and he said, you know, oh, you explain what is going on. And that brahmana said, actually, I came across a dog who was complaining. He was just lying down Or Lord Ram said, "Don't bring the dog." So let us hear what is his complaint. So dog was brought in, and Ram inquired and found out. Dog said, "You know, I was just lying on the side of the road, and one Brahmana came and just kicked me." And Lord Ram said, "This is not good. This is not proper." Immediately called that Brahmana who kicked the dog. So Brahmana was called in. Lord Ram asked him, "You know, is this true?" And he admitted, "Yes." You know, he was Brahmana. He was truthful. He said, "Yes, I had a bad day." Sometimes you have a bad day and then anger just comes out on the first person that you meet. Sometimes people have a bad day at the office, then they come home and then they are, you know, unpleasant for the wife or children for a few minutes. So it happens like that. Okay, so now Brahmana admitted that he has done something wrong. But now the problem was what to do, because Brahmanas are not to be punished. So now the dilemma was there, what to do with this Brahmana who kicked the dog. And they concluded, "Let us ask the dog what we should do with him." And the dog's advice was, just make him a Mahan, the chief priest of the biggest temple. So everyone was surprised, you know. Why is that? You know, this is like a reward, this is not punishment. And then the dog explained, you know, in my previous life, I was Mahan of that temple. You know, I was bossing everyone around, you know, being nasty to people and so on. And now I ended up as being a dog. So this shows that, you know, being in position like Daksha was also have important post, one has to be very careful how one acts. And there is another story. I believe that sage was Mundaka Muni, the one who in his youth pierced an insect with a straw. In any case, the story goes that there were some dacoits running away from the police, and they took shelter of a cave in which this Muni was living. So all the thieves went in, and police went after them. So they captured all of them, and then they went to punish them. And so that the punishment was that they put a sharp stick, and then just put the whole body on that and just, you know, left them like that. And because they didn't judge properly, you know, who the thief is, and they didn't know that also one sage is among them, they put this Mundaka Muni also on this pole. So later he was disturbed and he wanted audience of Yamaraj. And you know, he said to him, "How come I ended up, you know, I'm a sage, I'm living a saintly life, I try to be good." It's also sometimes for us in Krishna consciousness, you know. We try to live properly and so on, and then so many problems come that we sometimes wonder, how is that possible? In any case, Lord Yamaraj told him, "You know, when you were a small child, you took an insect and a straw and then just pierced that insect. So this is not punishment for what you have done in your youth." Of course, the sage was not pleased and he cursed Yamaraj to become Shudra. And that's why he became Vidura in Mahabharata. In any case, once narrating this story, Srila Prabhupada said that our GPC men have to be very careful, otherwise something like that might happen to them. When you are in an important position and you misjudge, I mean, if you're a small person and you do some mistake, that mistake is also small. But when you have big responsibility and, you know, you mess up, then you mess up big. So Prabhupada said, you know, they have to be very, very careful. Okay, that means I'm not. In any case, so we will see now how Lord or how Daksha will actually become offensive. So yesterday some thoughts were there on offenses, and I want just to quote a little thing from Skanda Purana about different kinds of offenses. There are six kinds of offenses against Vaishnava are described, and it is mentioned that if one commits them, one can completely lose his spiritual life or fall down. Handi nindati vaidveshti vaishnavam nabinandati krudyate yatino harsham darshane patanani shat. So, first one is handi. When we circumambulate Tulsi, we sing yani kani chapapani brahma hati. This is the same word. Hatya means killing of a brahmana. The sin of killing of brahmana is removed. Even such sin is removed just by circumambulating Tulsi. So this shloka also says that first offense is to kill Vaishnava. This is obvious. You kill a Vaishnava, this is very bad. This is obvious. Nindati means to blaspheme Vaishnavas. You know, speaking badly about Vaishnavas. Spreading rumors about Vaishnavas. Dveshti means to be, to hate a Vaishnava, also, very big offense. And from these statements here we will see how Shiva Daksha was envious, and he was also quite inimical towards Lord Shiva. Even because of Shiva's looks, it was explained yesterday, how Shiva looked. Daksha didn't like that. Okay, then become angry at the devotee. That's also an offense. Not offering obeisances upon seeing a Vaishnava. It's also not welcoming Vaishnava. It's also an offense. Then being angry at Vaishnava, and the last one is not being happy upon seeing a Vaishnava. Even that is considered an offense. Because Vaishnavas are the best association, the best persons, very dear to Krishna. So if we don't like them, then it's hard to claim that I love God if I don't like His servants. As Prabhupada used to use the proverb, love me, love my dog. Right? So if I mean, it is possible, but that is actually Prakrita Bhakta, described in 11th canto of Bhagavata. Materialistic devotee. He very faithfully worships deity in the temple, but he doesn't behave properly towards devotees and people in general. So, some more purification and advancement is needed from that position, if attitude is such. So, Daksha is showing this envious mentality. He is actually being offensive, although he is trying to conceal it. He is trying to hide it. As if, you know, being envious and disrespectful is not enough, now he is also becoming untruthful. And that is also a symptom of his consciousness. Because someone who is dedicated to scriptures, who has brahminical inclination, such a person is truthful. That is one of the characteristics of Brahmanas. Shamu dhamma tapasya chank shantir arjavan. Arjavan is honesty. One of the nine qualities of Brahmana in Gita. So Brahmana is honest. And also in it is explained that there are four pillars of religious life, and in Kali Yuga only one is left to some extent, and that is, you know, truthfulness. If that is gone, then there is no chance. But people who are truthful, who are honest, then they can approach God and they can participate in Krishna consciousness movement. But Daksha is now just showing, he is now about to criticize Lord Shiva, and first he is saying, you know, I just want to speak nicely, these are just moral codes and so on, I'm not speaking out of envy. So, this is cheating mentality. Again, one of the characteristics of conditioned souls. And that is quite common. You know, one of the examples that comes to my mind of such a cheating personality is one of the ex-presidents of US who was hippie in his youth. You know, so he was also taking drugs. So once he was asked, did you smoke ganja? So now this was, you know, cameras were there. Now it is, you know, he said, you know, I was taking drugs, that might be bad. But, you know, if he denies, there are so many witnesses to that act, that again it won't be good. So he said, yes, I was smoking, but I was not inhaling. What a cheater. Always some excuse just to get you away. Or once leader of one organization that is actually not spiritual, but still they are considered by people to be spiritual, and they're supposed to be vegetarians. He visited a country that I was staying, so he had some lunch with political leaders, and he was eating soup with cow meat. You know, and he's supposed to be vegetarian. So once he was asked, you know, how come, you know, your religion proclaims non-violence and you should be vegetarian, how come you're eating meat? And he said, you know, if people offer to me with love and devotion, I just cannot say no. Again, what a lousy excuse. I was just thinking, because Chinese people want to get rid of him, it would be very easy if he would be consistent with that mentality or that approach. You know, you just give him a glass of poison, and since he doesn't refuse anything, he's finished. In any case, we can find so many examples of this cheating mentality. People try to hide their true intentions. And Prabhupada also mentions that this is sometimes a strategy to take attention from yourselves to others. So Prabhupada would say that sometimes if you are a thief yourself, then you point to others and say, you know, there goes the thief. So everyone looks that way, so that in the meantime I can steal. So he is also, you know, trying to divert people's intention or program their mind so that they would not perceive his words as being spoken out of ignorance and envy. So we can see there is quite a vast difference between mentality, advancement of Lord Shiva, and Daksha at this point, and we will see that this Daksha's mentality will lead further into quite a great complication, unfortunate situation in which, as mentioned in previous classes, Daksha will lose his head. Okay. Any comment or question? One, two. Who will be first? Ladies first or children first?
Children.
Okay. Yes.
In
In Bhagavad Gita 4.1, it said about the disciplic succession from Krishna. Shlokas imam yashvati yogam proktavanam avyam yasvan manavepra manurikshvakave bhavet. The disciplic succession comes down from Krishna to Vivashwan to Manu to Ikshvaku. Mm-hmm. But in Bhagavad Gita page 30, I think so, it talks about the same disciplic succession. But now it's coming from Krishna to Brahma to Narada.
Mm-hmm.
How come they both are different?
They both are different. Yeah, because Krishna is the original guru, so he many times speaks knowledge. Just shloka after that is evam para para prapta imam raja shuru vidu sakalaneha yu sakalaneha evam para para prapta imam raja shuru vidu sakalaneha mahata yoga nashta prantata. So nashta, this yoga, this system of yoga is lost in due course of time in material world. You know, things go bad in this material world. Like if you leave prasadam for too long outside of fridge, it also goes bad. So also people's understanding, their practicing of religion, in times people change so much that it doesn't have the full power anymore. So then Krishna has to come and again teach, again speak. So Krishna does this many times. So there are different students of Krishna. So we are coming in that line that is in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the introduction that you mentioned, from Krishna to Brahma and all the way to Srila Prabhupada, right? But Krishna also, at other time, he spoke on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Arjuna. So he was, Arjuna was the direct disciple of Krishna. And also Krishna is mentioning in the shloka that you quoted, he spoke to Vivasvan also, to Sun God, many millions of years ago. Yeah. And Krishna is mentioning this example of speaking to Vivasvan because then he says, you know, that Arjuna was also present there at that time. And the other point he is making is that this knowledge is very important for saintly kings. So he is, you know, giving the point, I already instructed kings like Vivasvan, and now I'm also instructing you so that you can properly act. Why? Because kings should protect citizens, right? And protection means many things. Third chapter of Gita just concludes with explanation of the most dangerous enemy, which is called Yeah, it is connected with mind, because
Maya.
It is lust. He speaks about lust at the end of chapter 3. No? Mind becomes affected by lust. So he is saying, he is giving this knowledge to kings, so the kings can make environment in the society so that people are not only protected, you know, with swords against the enemies who want to kill their gross bodies. But king has to make environment where people are protected from lust, so that they can practice spiritual life. So that's why he is. So Krishna speaks many times to different persons. Is that okay? No. Oh, another child. Yes.
Daksha didn't tell Brahma to bow down, then why did he tell Lakshma to bow down?
Because in this bodily relationship, Brahma is superior to him. Brahma is like father of all living entities. So Daksha could understand, okay, he's superior to me. You know, he's the grandfather of all living entities. But he considered Shiva to be junior because Shiva was his son-in-law, because Shiva married Daksha's daughter, Sati. So that's why he was undisturbed by Brahma's not offering obeisances, but he thought, you know, that for Shiva it was not appropriate, so he got wild, you know, because of that. Let us...
The president that you are talking about.
Oh, who is that president? That was Bill Clinton.
Oh.
Yeah. He was in trouble many times. Full of excuses. But the problem in material world is when you get in trouble by lying, then, you know, one lie is followed by another, and after some time you are just in such a mess that you cannot get out. So, truthfulness is always appreciated. It's always a good solution.
If Daksha could understand that Brahma is higher, in bodily level higher than him, then how couldn't he understand that Lord Shiva was also higher than him?
Because Shiva married Daksha's daughter. So then Daksha thought, oh, he is my son-in-law. You understand? So like, your father is junior to your grandfather, right? Hare Krishna, confirmed. yeah. Although, you know, from some other aspect, your father might be senior to his father-in-law. I don't know, I'm just speculating. It's possible. But because Daksha was Shiva's father-in-law, he thought, I'm superior. Make sense? Or it's difficult to understand these family relationships.
We were mentioning about how there's some devotees who take on that service of
pure
Brahmins. I was reminded of Damodara Pandit, who was so interesting.
Oh, okay.
Because you mentioned also there's that shloka about how if one is not happy upon seeing the Vaishnava, you're committing an offence. So some devotees who take on that service may not be such pleasant company.
So am I committing offence when I see them?
Yeah. Because, I mean, Damodara Pandit was so straightforward, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, go.
I mean, we have to see, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, whoever points out my faults, he is my well-wisher. And whoever flatters me, he is my enemy. So we have to see whether, you know, someone is, for what reason and what motivation and what things one is pointing out. If someone is just creating disturbance, it is just naturally want to avoid such a person. No, we want to focus on Krishna, not on, you know, someone who is all the time creating disturbance and taking our attention away from the Supreme Lord. Because the devotees should be people who are helping us remember Krishna, not those who are, you know, making such a disturbance that we are unable to focus on the holy name and our service. So some, you know, common sense should be applied. And of course, always it's good, one can discuss with senior devotees and guru, you know, how to act in certain situations, because those who are around for a long time, they had many experiences like that, and they might have, you know, some trick in the pocket that might help us. Anything else? If not, thank you very much. Grandara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Sahoy Tavad.